we can start. As usual, I'm not quite sure where we quit last time. So those of you who have a look at this, my sense is that we made it through Zophar. Is that right? Zophar, we're okay. And that we were getting ready for Job's reaction. So let me take a moment and set the context. Before I do that, I do want to share with you, in the spirit of inspiring you, sometimes on the way to and from work I listen to audiobooks, and sometimes on the way to and from work I listen to the radio. And this week I listened, and Chuck Swindoll was on, so you know Chuck Swindoll. And he told a tender story. He said that he could remember, the earliest thing he can remember is his mother praying for him. That he remembers when he was 4 years old, his mother prayed. He said, "I can remember that prayer. It was 9 words long. And it was this tender moment between my mother and me as she looked at me and said, 'God help you if you ever do that again.'" And he said, "I've depended on that prayer the rest of my life." He actually wove it into a powerful context, but I thought you needed to hear that one. Okay. For those of you who are with us today and have not been with us before, I will tell you there's a website where you can go and listen back a day or a month or a year or 10 years if you feel like it. But we've been looking at the book of Job. The book of Job opens with Job, rich, prosperous, happy, and very concerned that his relationship to the Lord be right. And he takes extraordinary steps to make sure that that's so, not just for himself, but for his whole family. We then get a glimpse in heaven. And before God's throne are gathered his angels, and either among them or with them, different translations put that differently, was Satan. And God says to him, "Where have you been?" And he says, "Roaming around on earth, looking here and there." And God said, "Did you notice my servant Job?" And then he describes him. What were the words he described Job with? This is God's description of Job. What did he say? "A pure and honest, blameless," yours says, "an honest man who fears God and shuns evil." And Job says, "Well, sure, of course he does that. Look at all the blessings you give him. Take those blessings away, he'll curse you to his face." And God said, "Well, go ahead." And all of a sudden, his family is gone, his herds are gone, his wealth is gone. He's in misery, but he does not curse God. He says instead, "If we take good things from God's hands, must we not take bad things as well?" And we go back to heaven and we see God a second time. And Satan is there and God says, "Where have you been? Roaming around on earth, looking here and there. Did you notice my servant Job? A pure, blameless, honest man who shuns evil. Who fears God and shuns evil." And Satan says, "Well, sure he does. You've left him his health. Take his health away, and he'll curse you to your face." And God says, "Well, you can do that, but don't take his life." And the next thing you know, he has diseases that are so awful, his friends don't recognize him when they see him. And what follows in the rest of Job, as we have seen it so far, is that Job sits there in misery, does not curse God. He instead says, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord." 3 friends decide to come see him. We don't know how long it took them to get there. When they get there, they don't even recognize him. When they figure out who he is, they sit there in silence for 7 days. Best thing they've ever done. Best thing they will do. Job actually points that out in some things I hope we're going to see today. After 7 days, who speaks first? This, you're going to have to answer that. You don't have to answer that. This is for them. Who speaks first? Job breaks the silence. You got to remember that. Okay. You got to remember that. And what does he basically say? "I wish I'd never been born." And one at a time, his 3 friends reply. And after each of their replies, Job speaks. Who have we heard speak so far? Eliphaz. And then Job spoke. Who else have we heard? Bildad. That's the way I sign my letters to my children these days. Bildad. Seems to work. Job speaks, and after he speaks, who's the third to speak?
So far,
we're doing pretty good. We'll see how it goes out. I'm trying to help you remember this. Is it working? Maybe. Zophar has just spoken. That was in chapter 11. And if you take a look at 11:4, you realize Job has said something very important, and Zophar is disagreeing with him. You said, these were your words, my conduct is pure. In your, that is God's, eyes, I am free of blame. Wow. You're new, so you get to answer this question because they've already answered it. Can you say that? Help me, guys.
Yes,
we can. How do we say it? I am not sinless. But if I am a child of God and His Spirit has come to live in me and I have surrendered to the work and will of His Son, then I am blameless. And God's own verdict is already in place. Have you noticed my servant Job? Pure in one translation, blameless in another translation, and honest tacked on in the both. Have you noticed my servant Job? Job says, I'm blameless, and Zophar can't take that. I heard you. I heard you say that you're blameless. How dare you, basically. Now, he said more, and we took quite a bit of time last week talking about more, but let's jump ahead. Chapter 12, I only let you see verse 2 and 3 last week, right? How does Job open? He opens in chapter 12 with sarcasm. I really, really like the New Living Translation at this point. One reason I have my iPad up here is I have the translation I usually use. I have New Living and I have the Message just right across here. If I can just keep them running, that's why I've got my charger over here for after. If I can just keep them running, I'm okay. Here's what New Living says. You people really know everything, don't you? And when you die, wisdom will die with you. Well, I know a few things myself. You're no better than I am. Who doesn't know these things you've been saying? Yet my friends laugh at me, for I call on God and expect an answer. I am a just and blameless man, yet they laugh at me. People who are at ease mock those who are in trouble. I'm not sure anything more true has ever been said than that line. They give a push to people who are stumbling. Okay, maybe that gets up there with it. But robbers are left in peace, and those who provoke God live in safety. God does keep them in His power. But that's all. And what follows there almost seems out of context. And I want to help you understand the context, because it does connect. Verse 3. I know a few things myself. Who doesn't know those things you've been talking about? Now Job begins to say, here's a few of the things I know. And what I know is this. Look anywhere around you in the created world and you see God. It takes him 12 or 15 verses to say it, and it is eloquent as he says it. But that's what he's saying. Let's read a little bit of that. You only have to ask the cattle for them to instruct you. Follow along in your translation. And the birds of the sky for them to inform you. The creeping things of the earth will give you lessons. And the fish of the sea will provide you an explanation. There is not one such creature but will know that it is the hand of God that arranged things like this. In his hand is the soul of every living being. Every living thing and the breath of every human being. Can the ear not distinguish the value of what is said, just as the palate can tell one food from another? Wisdom is found in the old, and discretion comes with great age. He's actually anticipating an argument that his friends are going to make in the next cycle. But in him there is wisdom and power too, and good counsel, no less than discretion. And he goes on, and basically he says God can do whatever God wants, and he doesn't have to offer explanations. But he's done something to me, and I have the temerity to say, I don't understand. And I want God to help me understand. Job is asking questions. Job is asking big questions. Let me see if I can find this. It says it's in 12 verse 6, but I don't think I'm going to go back there. Not sure. Yeah, here it is. Verse 15. Job is asking questions, and I think it's time for me to point out something. And I'm not ready to tell you what the answer is. I just challenge you to see if you can find the answer. I invite you to count how many questions Job is asking God. I've pulled out for you four or five of the big ones. We've looked at four or five of the big ones now. But he's asking all kinds of questions in here. I'm really curious to know how many questions Job asked God, because my guess is it's 64. You remember the old TV show? A few of you are old enough. Mitchell's not. If Brody were here, he wouldn't be. I doubt Elizabeth is, right? Leah maybe not, but Jane is. Jane remembers. Remember 64? How did you get the prize? You answered 64 questions. I think that's the way it worked anyway, right? It was a $64,000 thing, but I think you asked a whole series of questions that you answered. Job's asking him questions. How many? I think it's 64. Why do I think that? I'm not going to tell you today. You got to keep coming. I'll tell you someday. But I think if you count them. So here's one. Verse 15. Is there a drought? If there is, what's the cause? Verse 15. No. It says, what God destroys is in verse 14, no one can rebuild. Whom he imprisons, no one can release. Verse 15, is there a drought? And mine has a phrase right after that. What's that phrase in yours? If there's a drought, I think you're looking at the second half of that verse. I want you to look at the first half of the verse. If there is a drought, what's the reason? He withheld water. If the water is loosed and the water plays havoc on the earth, what's the cause? He let them loose. We got any of that going on in the U.S. right now? Arizona's one of the most desert places we have in our country, right? And all of a sudden it's underwater. Not for too long, but long enough to throw a whole bunch of cars into the river, cause deaths and stuff like that. I wish we could have captured that water into the aquifer we need. But if there's a drought, do we look and say, why is there a drought? God's at work. If we see floods, do we look in the flood and say, God's at work? If you keep on going through there, if you see a country's counselors acting like they don't know anything. Did you see that? Verse 20? One translation says, he robs a counselor's. He silences the trusted advisor. I don't really like that one. There's one that says, he robs a country's counselors of their wits. My goodness, have we ever seen anything like that happen? Turns the judges into fools, one translation says. Turns kings into prisoners. Strikes speakers dumb. Robs the elderly of their good sense. Deposes the noble born. Weakens the strong. Builds up a country or overthrows a country. Do we look behind that to say, that's God at work? For the most part, our country doesn't. If you see it, it frightens you. or at least it puts you in awe of who God is, and maybe lets God get your attention. Chapter 13, verse 1. Who's speaking? Let's just make sure we know who's speaking here.
Job.
In response to Zophar, who was the third of the speakers, that's the first cycle. I have seen all of this with my own eyes. I have heard with my own ears, and I understood. Whatever you know, I know too. I am in no way inferior to you. He's now looped back and said something he said in verse 3 or 3. But my words are intended for Shaddai. And that's a name of God. I mean to debate with God. As for you, you are, my translation says, charlatans. If you were physicians, you would be quacks. That's what the next line says. Will no one teach you to be quiet? That's the only wisdom that becomes you.
Whoa.
Thank you. Listen kindly to my accusation and give your attention to the way I will plead. Do you mean to defend God with lies and dishonest argument? In taking his side in this way, have you appointed yourselves as his lawyer? As his advocates? How would you fare if he looked at you, scrutinized you, the way he has me? Can he be duped as mortals are duped? Verse 11, doesn't his majesty frighten you? Verse 12, your received ideas. All three of them are saying, we've learned this from people of days gone by, and we've seen that it's true for ourselves. And he says, your received ideas are maxims of ash. Your retorts are no better than clay. Just shut up. That was verse 13, rough paraphrase. Just shut up. Please let me do the talking. Happen to me what may. I'm taking my life in my hands. You ever wonder where that cliche came from? It's verse 14. I am taking my life in my hands. Let him kill me if he wishes, but I have no other hope than to justify my conduct in his eyes. And this is what will save me, for the wicked do not dare appear before him. Can you see the depth of Job's argument? If he's going to kill me, let him do that. But until he does, I'm pushing back. What is happening to me is not happening as a consequence of things that I haven't taken care of. Is Job sinless?
Yes.
No. Is Job sinless?
No.
Let's get it.
No.
Pop quiz time. Got to get it right. I've given you the answers already. It's not too much. Is Job sinless?
No.
No. Is he blameless?
Yes.
Yes. Can I be blameless even though I am not far from sinless? Yes, I can. And few churches seem to teach that. It's all through there. The wages of sin is death. But what? The gift of God is eternal life through Christ who saves me. I think that's the tagline on that. Verse 17, listen carefully to my words. Pay attention to what I'm going to say. I will proceed by a form of law, knowing that I am upright. There he is again with his claim. Who wants to contest my case? In advance, I agree to be silenced and to die. But just grant me two concessions, and then I'll not hide from your face. Who's he talking to now? Is he still talking to Zophar?
No,
I think he's switched, and I think his attention is on the Lord now. Only two concessions. Remove your hand which lies so heavy on me. No longer make me cower from your terror. Then call me forward and I'll answer. Verse 22 is powerful. Or rather, I'll call, I will speak, and you will answer. Can you see either the courage or the stupidity that Job is taking right here? What was your assignment last week? Read the rest of Job, starting with chapter 12. I think I put in the prayer list to start at chapter 14, and I realized this morning as I was looking at this stuff, no, it's to start back at 12. Call me forward and I will answer, or rather, I'll speak and you answer. tell me what my misdeed has been, what my sin is. That's the second half of verse 23. I want to skip just a little bit and go to chapter 14, verse 7. How does your first phrase read? Chapter 14, verse 7. There is always hope for a tree. What does that mean? Well, I've watched it in my front yard. I had some neighbors. They sent me a letter anonymously through a lawyer's office.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I still don't like that. I got that letter. I'm going to frame it sometime to remind me how much to dislike it. They basically threatened me with a lawsuit if I didn't cut a bush. They wanted to race around a corner and not stop and look. And they couldn't see far enough down the street to know whether they could race around the corner quick enough. That's my take on it. That's not what they said, but that's my take on it. So, the bushes turned out to be prickly holly bushes. You ever try to cut a holly bush? You may cut the bush, but what? The bush is going to cut you. So what do you do when you're in that place? These fly-by-night people who come knock on the door, you got anything I can do, fix up your yard, cut down a tree? I say, yeah, cut down that bush. How much you charge to cut down that bush? And they quoted me a price. And then they got into cutting down the bush, and they came back and said, we should have charged you a bigger price. And I said, you should have. I gave them a bonus. They cut that whole thing down. The whole thing. Cut it down. And hauled it away. That's what they promised to do. And the stumps are sitting there. And the bush is now this big on the stump. There is hope for a tree. You with me?
Yes.
When it is felled, it can start its life again. Its shoots continue to sprout. Its roots may have grown old in the earth. Its stump may be rotting in the ground. But let it scent water, and it buds and puts out branches like a plant newly set. But a human being, he dies, and dead he remains. He breathes his last, and then where is he? Job is being brutally honest with what he understands about what we will today call the facts of life. There is always hope for a tree. But for a human being, he dies and dead he remains. Breathes his last, and then where is he? The waters of the sea will vanish. The rivers will stop flowing and run dry. A human being once laid to rest will never rise again. The heavens will wear out before he wakes up or before he is roused from his sleep. And in verse 13 and verse 14 becomes the last of the huge questions. This is, I think, the biggest of the big. What has he just said? A human being dies, and that's it. And suddenly, Job's mind turns. And what does he say in verse 13 and verse 14? Won't you hide me in Sheol? That's not hell. The Jewish picture of this was a place of waiting. Will you not hide me in Sheol and shelter me there until your anger is past, fixing a day certain for calling me to mind? And then he asks his question. What is it? Can the dead come back to life? What has he just said? Human being dies, and dead he remains. He is gone, never to be seen again. There's always hope for a tree, but not for a human being. And suddenly his mind says, what? Wait a minute. Can the dead come back to life? day after day of my service, I would be waiting for my relief to come. You would call and I would answer. You would want to see once more what you had made. Right now, you count every step I take. Then you would stop spying on my sin. You'd seal up my crime in a bag and put a cover over my fault. Is anybody hearing the things we talked about last week? Are you hearing that? And then all of a sudden, he's lost it. By the time you get to verse 20, he's back where he was. You crush him once for all and he's gone. First you disfigure him, then you dismiss him. His children may rise to honors. He doesn't know it. They may come down in the world. He doesn't care. Everything is gone. But for that one moment, he caught a glimpse of something. What was his glimpse? Can the dead rise again? Can the dead come back to life? I think it's time for us to review. What are the big questions that we saw? We've seen a couple of dozen questions at least. But what are the big ones we picked out? You get to show off for our friends today. We've got some friends who've come in to visit with us. You get to show off. Okay? And our long-term visitors, our long-term members who have been prodigal for a little while. Right? What are the big ones? Where was the first one? Chapter 6. Verse 8. And what did it say? Won't somebody hear my prayer? God is silent. Chapter 6, verse 24, what did he say? Can I finally get to understand what all of this means? I paraphrased this, won't you help me see the big picture? How what has happened to me fits into God's plans. Now we put a fifth one in, and I sort of set it off to the sides because originally I was counting four. I maybe should have counted 15 by the time we get through, because there's some others that are vying for a place in this list. But chapter 7, verse 21 was the third one. God, can you not tolerate my sin? Can you not overlook my fault? Now we got to answer that one right now, because just in case you weren't here, you need the answer to that. Can God tolerate my sin? Can he overlook my fault? No, he cannot. No, he cannot. What was the fourth one, which used to be number three? Where was it? Where was it? Some of you have notes. I see a few of you looking at the board. You remember to look. Thank you. I see just a few of you are finally turning that way. I saw Jerry turning that way. Yeah. Cheat. That's what it's up there for. That's what it's up there for. Chapter 9, verse 33. Right now, finally realized, hey, I could be cheating all this time. you all had already got it. What does it say? Isn't there some arbiter, my translation says, mediator, yours says, who could stand between me and God to do what? To explain God to me. And, this is almost blasphemous, but it's exactly what Job meant. And explain me to God. And do you remember what he said right around there? He said, God, do you hear like human beings hear? Do you experience life like human beings experience life? Do you understand what it is to be mortal? Do you have any conception what it's like to be a human being? And I told you about that time, it's time to let the secret out of the bag. What is Job getting a distant glimpse of? Jesus. And he just got another one. What's this one? Chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. What's this one? Is it right that when you're dead, you're dead? Is it possible that men can come back to life? Is that possible? We're standing on the other side of the cross. What's the answer?
Yes.
Yeah. And we can have eternal life now. Which then turns into, seamlessly, and in a twinkling of an eye, as Paul said, into life in heaven. Yes, the dead can live again. And if you start looking carefully at Scripture, which I didn't take you to last week, you realize as you read, Paul says to his Gentile friends, you were dead in your sins and the way you were living. And then he points to the Jews, including himself. We were too. But Christ has brought us all to life. Much of the New Testament talks about we were dead, but God has made us alive. Can the dead live again? It takes on a double meaning if you see that part of the New Testament. Can the dead be brought to life? Yeah. Now, would you care to guess what's happened? Would you care to guess what's happened? We've run out of time. It's gone. Chapter 15, verse 1. What do you read? It's easy. Chapter 15, verse 1. What does it read? Eliphaz starts to speak. Well, Eliphaz has already spoken once. So what's this? This is the start of the second cycle. What's your assignment for next week? Read the rest of Job, starting with chapter 15. I'm hoping I remember and get this right in the prayer list. Okay? If you were here this week and you want to know what we did last week, what do you do? Go to the website and you can find it there. Okay? Bye. Will no one hear my prayer?
May I say one thing real quick?
Sure.
I just kind of volunteered for something that I didn't quite realize what I was volunteering for. I thought I was just going to help do the feeding at the Samaritan Inn on the 11th of October. But I think I'm kind of in charge. You all think about who might want to help go down there. If you've never done a feeding, you probably ought to go at least one time. And then you realize how fortunate all of us are. So next week, I'm not going to the river. I'm coming to church because I've got to tell about this. Find out more about this. So round up some volunteers.
I'm glad you have such joy in your voice as you speak of this this opportunity.
But I'm going after church. So if you all will think about the 11th.
11th is a Saturday.
It's the 13th.
The 13th. Well, hey, I can do it early. The 13th. If you all put that on your calendar, then maybe you can help.
Make sure you get food that lasts 2 days. So that
no, we're not waiting for the last day.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for these words from so long ago. In his agony, Job is thinking. He's trying to make sense out of stuff he thought he understood. He thought, as far as we can tell, we have your word that he was thinking correctly. I may not be sinless, but I am right with God. And you've affirmed that, and yet all these things happened to him. And what has happened has led him to think. And as he thinks, these questions arise. And we can see from where we sit that those questions are all pointing to your Son. He began to understand the only way it can work is if there is someone who bridges the gap between God and human beings. We thank you today for your Son who came to earth and lived among us as a man, as we live, and who now sits to the right hand of your throne to help us understand God and to help God understand us. As strange as that may sound, we pray today that each person here would be committed to you by being committed to you as your Son has revealed you. And we pray that you would give us the chance to be of service in your kingdom. For we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.